Ja. There's a Congress dude in the studio with us. High five me, bro. I don't know if you've been following this, Congressman. Congressman Todd Rokita is with us from Indiana. He's right down I-65.
The I-65 district.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I-65 district.
That's those wind turbines. You're not supposed to say windmills. It's wind turbines.
Yeah. I think those are cool when you see them. I know that the farmers don't like them, right? Isn't that the deal?
No, farmers love them because
they get paid, right?
Correct.
Yeah. But someone was telling, I don't know, there are people who don't like them. Who doesn't like them, Congressman? There's got to be somebody who doesn't like them.
Environmentalists did before they didn't because it started killing the birds.
Right.
So you got that.
Yeah.
Anyone who believes in a free market.
Likes it.
No, doesn't like
doesn't
it.
Doesn't like it.
Because the energy it produces is three times or so more expensive. Mm-hmm. In fact, here's something for you guys. The energy we create, we love it in Indiana because we get a royalty from them. Uh-huh. You know, that's a separate issue that farmers love. But the energy it produces, the electricity it produces, actually comes to Illinois. We don't use it in Indiana because Illinois' legislature created a renewable standard for the electricity. So we sell this to you guys.
Oh, Indiana, the state that works.
That's right.
Tell you about that state.
Yeah, that's right, Kevin.
It works.
Yeah, state that works. I don't understand it. It is very confusing. You know, growing up, I'd be in Indiana a lot as a kid. Mm-hmm. My dad used to like to take us to the dunes or over
right.
to Michigan
I'm going
or whatever.
This weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
And so it was like, summer weekends were almost all exclusively spent in Indiana. And I always felt like, you know, it smells funny. And
what?
I just, yeah.
Which,
yeah.
I love that area, dunes.
Steel mills.
Beverly you know. Shores we go to
Yeah,
sometimes.
But when you drive through, you have to get through the funny smelling
yes.
stuff.
Right.
And then I thought, well, now, come on. This is not for real, this state. And now look at it. It's kicking our ass. That's what's going on.
On certain fronts.
Yeah.
Different type of state, though, I think, than... The metro area of Chicago is a little different than some of the... You don't deal with the same issues we do on that scale.
Well, we're simple people. What are you talking about?
Crime.
We have all the issues
gangs,
you do.
You know, drugs being the center of drugs in America and more gang members than both L.A. and New York combined. I mean, you don't have those types of problems there.
Yes, we do. But at different rates.
Different level.
Different kind of... well, not what we came to talk
not
about.
Not what we
today.
Came to talk about, but here's I would just thing. Say there's a major difference.
Anna, here's the thing I will say. As someone who represented the whole state at one time and now at least 700,000 people in the state, there's a lot of us who understand that our yokes are tied. Mm-hmm. Our two states need to be successful. Mm-hmm. Yes, we fight on the margins and there's billboards up. You know,
yeah.
Are you Illinois yet and come mm-hmm. to Indiana? And we'll keep fighting on that. But we need Illinois to be successful. We really want Illinois to be successful because we're so interrelated, to your point.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for saying that. I think that's important.
All right.
Because anyway. I think that's the one point people bring up when they say, you know, your successes should be heralded. We can take a page out of your book on some of these economic fronts. What's unemployment in Indiana now?
Oh, we're under 5%, more like 4%.
That's great.
Well, now, what do you make of Mike Pence, your governor, going off to become the vice presidential candidate? Is that good or bad for Indiana?
Well, it's always good when your state has one of its favorite sons, you know, elevated, so to speak, to mm-hmm. the national ticket so he can talk more about his state, so he can, you know, the state that works, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a good thing. It's good for Indiana. It's going to be good for the country. I think it's good for Mr. Trump right now. It's given some
balance. It's the only thing that Trump has got going for him right now. I'll tell you something, Todd. If the Wall Street Journal had its way and Donald Trump said, you know what, I'm done. I'm not interested anymore. I'm going to go play golf. I got a great life. You know, if he did that, I don't need this.
Well,
if he did do that.
He's going to start a news network. That's the other rumor out there.
Well, right. But if he stepped aside, like on Labor Day, I think that Mike Pence would win by 10 points.
Well, he's a great messenger. He's a great messenger for the mm-hmm. party. He's a great messenger for America. I don't know if it's legally possible because I'm putting on my old Secretary of State hat here for mm-hmm. a minute. Chief Election Officer hat. I don't know how you get all states from a legal perspective to change the ballot like that.
But it would have to be by the, I think it's the 26th or something of August, where I'm told, because early voting starts
in a lot of states
in
yeah.
September.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's gonna yeah. You know,
it's September
like 6 weeks,
for some
yeah, 6 weeks
states,
out.
My Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's fanciful to maybe talk about, but I don't think it's practical or even legal.
I'm just telling you, your guy would win if Trump stepped aside, Mike Pence would be the next president of the United States. Yeah. I'm telling you. But what do I know? I didn't think Trump was going to make it this far. And look at me. Well, I mean, like, I'm an idiot. I'm dumber than Ryan Lochte.
No, that's not true. I think that's hard to do. What do you think of the changes that Trump's made, you know, bringing on two new senior advisors to his campaign?
Well, you know, heck, I don't know. I don't know the insides of a campaign. I do know this, having run, you know, a couple campaigns now myself. Not good to be changing up.
Late.
You know, your state, your folks this late.
Mm-hmm. No.
That points to some problems. But
yeah.
Hey, this is a crazy election year. Let's be honest.
Well,
who knows what's going to happen? I think let's get to the first debate and let's see what fireworks that brings. And let's see if that energizes folks.
I think what's interesting, the kind of the untold story here is what happened to Paul Manafort, which is, and I think we'll learn about it at the end, that they, you know, after it's all said and done, someone will write a book or it'll come out, because it appears that Trump wanted somebody who was just going to be his amen choir for him to support and go, hey, let Trump be Trump. He needs people. And Manafort didn't want him to be Trump. But then Manafort got in his own problems because he's got it's not that he even did anything illegal. It doesn't appear. But that he just was involved with nefarious types. Mm-hmm. So it was like, and that doesn't help with Trump, who's, you know, sort of, you know, on that to begin with. So there you got that problem.
I think similar allegations have been made about the Clinton Foundation.
For sure.
Accepting money from nefarious types and regimes.
I'm hearing you guys talk, and I'm wondering, where are we at as a country?
Right. Well,
these are our top two people to choose from.
Isn't that amazing?
Exactly right.
That is amazing. How did we get here? There are 320 million people.
Sure.
I mean, you got to see over the age of 35. So let's just call that. Yeah, you know, let's call 100 million people. Okay,
yeah.
Let's just go with that. You got 100 million to choose. One in 50 million chance, and this is what we end up with, right? I mean, it's like I don't understand. All right, so let's talk about this. Is interesting because as a member of Congress, I think you're fascinated by this. State Department is now saying that the $400 million in cash that the Iranians received was actually tied to the hostage release here.
It's despicable.
Release.
Never have we paid a ransom. Never should we.
Now, they're arguing it wasn't a ransom, that their money was going to them anyway, but they said, we're holding it until you release those people. So how does that work?
Well, okay. It's ransom light. I don't know what you call it, but you know, walks like a duck, talks like a duck. and maybe it was completely coincidental. I don't know. But the fact is we're dealing with these people, and we shouldn't be. And you know, I'm first and foremost to protect our soldiers and our sailors and everyone else who serves in uniform. But they also know, those very people know, that their first duty is to protect us. And we put them in harm's way purposefully to do their job. And so they understand that. And they are trained for hostage situations and all that.
Yeah.
And we should never blur the message that we will not pay ransom, we will not pay for hostages, civilian or military.
The Obama administration has said again, hey, this wasn't secret. We told you about it then. We're not sure why this has come up again, but they are saying those two negotiations were absolutely separate. They're saying they're totally separate.
Well, except for this part that the State Department just acknowledged, which is the timing issue.
Well, here's the thing. Maybe we wouldn't be talking about this at all, Anna, mm-hmm. if we never made a deal with Iran in the first place, which, you know, it was a bad thing to even deal with them. In the first place, it makes us, and so now a lot of us suspect the administration on a new front.
What do you think?
So, you know, I would never have entered into that agreement with Iran in the first place. And I locked myself for 2 days in a room, in a classified room, and I read every page of that document. I read the associated letters, and I came out of that room with no better confidence in the deal that Kerry made with the Iranians. Do not negotiate. You do not make deals with terrorists. And as a state, as a nation, they are terrorists.
Now, what do you make of the Russians flying their missions to bomb Syria out of Iran? And the most amazing thing is on the first day, the United States Air Force gave them safe passage out of Iran into Syrian airspace.
This is, yeah.
Yeah.
What do we make of that?
What do I make of it? I mean,
I mean,
not good.
I mean, Trump.
I
mean,
in technical terms, I don't like it.
But I mean, and Trump's playing footsie with Putin. I don't understand anything that's going on here.
Well, and the civilian casualties with these latest airstrikes are just the pictures are coming out of the children harmed, bombed. I mean, just unbelievable when you think about the real consequences of what's happening in that region right now.
This is all about leading from behind. This is the result of leading from behind, which in fact is not leading. This is appeasement, and this is what happens when a strong nation projects weakness instead of strength. And that, for the last 8 years, has been Obama's plan. I can't even call it negligence. I think he does it on purpose. maybe a severe misunderstanding of how the world works. But, you know, and I think it's more than that. He is a smart person. These are smart people in the administration. Mm-hmm. But this was an idea that, look, we're going to lead. He said it himself. We're going to lead from behind. We're going to let others take the view. We're going to give people the benefit of the doubt. And guess what? There are bad actors in this world. There are bad people in this world. There are bad nations in this world. And the best hope for freedom in the world is still this country. And he has taken us backward in that respect.
What do you make of the Russian relationship here, though? Should we have a better relationship with Russia?
In terms of, you're talking about the Trump situation?
So he would like to get along with Russia. He makes that a sort of a general statement. I don't know what that means.
I don't think Putin is a good person. I think he is a dictator, and I think now he's a multimillionaire. I'm not sure, maybe even a billionaire. Mm-hmm. So he's taken advantage of other countries who are in a weaker position. He will take advantage of us. I mean, I'm sorry to sound so negative. I was raised a better person over there in Northwest Indiana in Munster. I promise you. growing up listening to WGN and WLS, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. only one bell for GN. Mm-hmm. I can no longer do the other one. No, I'm not allowed.
Let's be real, guys. The world is best. The world is safer when America is strong and we project our strength.
But
that doesn't mean we have to be everywhere in the world all the time. I'm not saying that.
It's complicated, though, right? I mean, this is the one thing. I mean, we take the politics out of it for a second, because, I mean, you're in Washington, and there's a lot of people who get into Congress. They want to do the right thing, right? Don't you agree that the vast majority of people that you probably run into in your career get into public service for the right thing?
Phenomenal individuals, phenomenal human beings. I often go to the Hill and just think to myself, geez, I'm the weakest link here. You know, then I see some others.
But the point being that there's people here of goodwill who want to try to do the right thing.
Absolutely.
Here. And now we find ourselves in a situation where the world, the Middle East, is on fire. How we got here is really no longer relevant. It's now, what do we do with it?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So who's going to be best? Who's going to lead us out of this at the very best? I have my own series of very significant concerns about Trump being able to do that, because I don't know that I think the military guys, and you deal with these guys, you know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think these military leaders and the guys at the Pentagon, they're looking at him like, this guy does not know what he's doing.
Yeah, but that's because, if anything, it's a lack of information or misinformation or inability for Mr. Trump to listen. But I think that can come. It's different than having no respect for the military. And Mr. Obama have very little respect for the military. And I think Mrs. Clinton's going to be the third term of the Obama administration.
So I think
there's a difference there. And I think Mr. Trump would be better at helping us out in this regard.
All right. Congressman. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Congressman.
Thanks for being here.
Nice
it was
to
easy.
See you.
You passed the interview.
He did.
So we'll call you and we'll let you know. Just leave your resume and your headshot right here. We've got all that. Violetta's got the WGN traffic trouble spots right now.